Okay, good morning. The weekly Shir Maseches Moed Katan is dedicated by David and Paula Bounzer and OMO Construction for all your construction needs. And the weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Ligoy Nishmas Shimon Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim. We're on Moed Katan Daf Chav Vav. Before we jump into the Daf, let's just review the general rule with respect to Kriya and tying up or sewing up the Kriya. Afterwards, just so we get an overview, and then we'll get into the details here. So the Rambam says in the ninth parak of Hilchos Avel, if you are tearing, if a person tears kriya on his other relatives, meaning people other than his father and mother, so then you can do a loose tie up of the kriya after Shiva's over, and then you can do like a permanent sewing of the kriya after Shloshim's over. Val ova val imo, on a father and mother, sholo achar Shloshim, you have to wait until after Shloshim is over in order to do that temporary tie-up or buttoning up. And ve'ino ma'achal le'olam, and you never are allowed to permanently sew up the kriya. That's the difference between ova v'imo and shar krovim. And then a woman is koras v'sholal esmiyad. She does, she immediately, because of sneas reasons, as we've seen before, she does the immediate tie-up, temporary tie-up, just so that it covers her appropriately. Alfilu al-aviyah v'al-imah mipnei atznias. And then the Rambam goes on and says, just like you do kriya for aviv and imo and shar kurvim, you do it for a whole bunch of other categories that we'll see in a moment in our Gemara. And on those, such as on Yerushalayim and on a Sefer Torah Shenisraf, if someone, if a Sefer Torah burns, or if someone, God forbid, curses Hashem's name, etc. And on all of those things, Eino Ma'achal Yolam, those are in the more stringent category of like an Aviv and Imo, where you never permanently sew it up. That's the halacha. Okay, so that with that kind of background, that gives us the broad overview of the categories. Now we'll jump into the Gemara, where it says, Tana Rabbanan. On Daf Chafav, Ve'elu Kara'in Shein Ma'asachin, the following are the rips or the tears that you never sew up. HaKorea al-Aviv ve'al-Imo, as we mentioned, if you do Kriya for a parent, ve'al-Rabo Shelimdo Torah, for a Rebbe that's taught you Torah, ve'al-Nasi, on the Nasi, ve'al-Av Bezdin, on the head of the Bezdin, ve'al-Shmuos Haros, on bad tidings, meaning we'll see in the Gemara soon, on very catastrophic bad tidings that occur for Klal Yisrael. Ve'al Birkas Hashem, if a person hears, God forbid, someone curse Hashem's name. Ve'al Sefer Torah Shenisraf, and on a burnt Sefer Torah, if you see the burning of a Sefer Torah. Ve'al Ari Yehuda, ve'al HaMikdash, ve'al Yerushalayim, and on the destroyed cities of Judea, on Yehuda, ve'al HaMikdash, if you see the Churban of the Mikdash, the Makom of Mikdash in its desolation, ve'al Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim. We'll see later on in our Gemara that there might be a requirement for separate Kriyas for each of these stages. V'korea, oh, it gets into it a little here, V'korea al-Mikdash, u'mosif al-Yerushalayim. And you rip for the Makom HaMikdash, for seeing the desolate Makom HaMikdash, and then you can add to the Kriya for Yerushalayim. We'll see the specific circumstance in which that sequence of events happens. And now the Gemara is going to get into the sources for all of these halachos. Okay, the Gemara says, Aviv v'imo v'rabo shlumdo Torah minolan. What's the source, what's the scriptural source for the idea that you do kriya for a parent, for a father or mother, and for a Rebbe that's taught you Torah? Dechsiv, and it quotes the pasuk from Elisha, when Elisha saw Elio Anavi go up in the whirlwind and disappear. So it says, Ve'elisha ra v'umitzayik, and Elisha saw and he was yelling, V'umitzalik, what did he yell? Avi avi rechav Yisrael parashav. He yelled for my father, the chariot of Israel and its chariots, its components. So the Gemara says, avi avi ze aviv v'imo. That's a reference to of, and then the pasuk continues and says that he ripped kriya. Right, the pasuk says, v'lo ra'ahu od, he didn't see Eliyahu anymore. V'yichuzak b'v'gadav, and he grabbed onto his garments, Vayikra'im Ushnaim Kra'im, and he ripped it into two pieces. So the Gemara says, Avi Avi Ze Avivimo. So when he yelled at Avi Avi, that's referring to, we're darshaning now, that's referring to a father and a mother. Rechav Yisrael Parashav, the chariot of Israel, Ze Rabo Shilum Do Torah, that's a reference to a person's Rebbe. My mashma, and how does this get you to the? How does this limud work? Why do we interpret it this way? Kedemitargim Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef translated it, Rebbe Rebbe de Tav Lahom Yisrael Betzluse Martichinu Parashin. Rebbe Rebbe who has. What is it? The Tavon Yisrael Bezusa, that with his davening, he benefited Klal Yisrael, Martichinu Parashin, anyway, that's the source for Rabbi Shalom de Torah. Fine. Velomis Achen and Velomis Achen. How do we know that you don't tie it up, that you don't sew it up? Minoan Dechsiv. In that same pasuk, Vayichazek b'vegadav, Vayikra'im, that he grabbed onto his garments and he ripped them, Lishnaim kara'im, to two parts. Mimashin mashenemar Vayikra'im, from the fact that the pasuk says Vayikra'im, that he ripped it, Eini yodeish lishnaim, don't we know that it ripped it too? If you rip it, it becomes two, right? Ela, so why does it have to say Vayikra'im lishnaim, that he ripped it into two? Ela melamed shekruin va'omdim lishnaim yolam. That teaches you that it has to stay ripped forever, as two, and so that's the source for this idea that for a father and a mother and for a Rebbe, you can never do ichlo, you can never permanently sew it up. Okay. Oh, so now Amrei Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan, so Reish Lakish says, Rav Yochanan, how could this be the source for Kriya? Eliyo Chayhu. We know that Eliyo never died, he's Chay, he's alive. So Amrei, no, Kevin Dechsiv Lo Ra'ahu Od. Since it says that Elisha never saw him, right? The pasuk is describing what he did in the context or in the reaction to him realizing that he's never going to see him again, which is basically equivalent to death. So Gabi Dide Kmeis Dami. For him, he was like a mace. Elio was like it was dead, and so therefore we could learn from his reaction to that, namely kriya, that for in our experience, when a person dies, you should do kriya. Fine. The Gemara then quotes, or then says, a nasi v'av bezdin, u'shmos haros, you know, and how do you know that you do kriya for a nasi, and for an av bezdin, and for bad tidings, for bad news? The source for that is the following, d'chsiv, v'yichazek David b'vagadav, this is after the battle where Shaul and Yonasan die. So what David, upon hearing the news, he reacts as follows, v'yichazek David b'vagadav, he grabbed onto his garments, Vayikra'im, and he ripped them. Vigam koha nashim asher ito, and the same thing is what the other people around him did. Vayispadu, they said hespedim, Vayivku, they cried, Vayatsumu, they fasted ada erev until that night. Al Shaul, v'al Yehonasan beno, on Shaul, and on Yehonasan his son. V'al am Hashem, v'al beis Yisrael, kinafu becharev, and on Hashem, on the nation of Hashem and on the house of Israel, because they had been defeated, they had fallen. So Shaul, so again, here we have a pasuk that says, in reaction to all these things, he did kriya. And so now we're going to pull out various components of this pasuk to learn the various categories. Shaul Zenasi. Shaul, he was the king, so he was the leader of the generation. So that's referring to a nasi. That's from there we learn that you do kriya for a nasi. Yehonasan Ze'av Bezdin. He was the Avezdin. And so we learn from there that the Av Bezdin does it. That you do kriya for an Av Bezdin. Alam Hashem ve'al Beis Yisrael, Eilu Shmos Haros. Right, he was crying over the fact that Klal Yisrael had been defeated in war, that so many people had died. So that's a reference to the idea that you do kriya generally on bad tidings when you hear terrible news. So Amar Le Rav Bar Shava or Rav Kahana, ve'ma adahavu kuhu. Here, this pasuk is describing kriya in reaction to this confluence of all these terrible things. Shaul died, and Yonasan died, and Klal Yisrael defeated. And so maybe you would only do, if this is your scriptural source for the halakha, maybe you should only do kriya if all these kind of things happen. You have a calamity where the Nasi and the Av Bezdin and terrible news happens all at once. Samrulay al hifsikain. If you look in the pasuk, it says al shal ve'al yohanasam bino, as if to say he did kriya for shal and for, right? It's kind of has an al in between each phrase, each clause, to indicate that no, there's a separate limud to do kriya for each of these various components. And so you do it even just if a nasi dies, or even if just the avezdin dies, or even on hearing Shmuel's haroz. So Gemara then says, "Umikarina na Shmuel's haroz." Is it really true that there is a chi of kriya on hearing bad news? The amrulegu Shmuel kato shvor malka treisa alpe Yehudai b'mzigas kesari v'lokara. We know that there was an incident in which they reported to Shmuel that Shavur Malka, King Shapur, he was a king in the 3rd century who like ruled over Mesopotamia area, Iran, Bavel, that area. And he was actually, the Gemara on various occasions relates conversations he had with Shmuel. He apparently corresponded with Shmuel or knew Shmuel or talked to Shmuel. And he was kind of the foil to the Romans of the time. He was giving the Romans a hard time. The Romans were the dominant power in the world at the time, the 2nd and 3rd century. And Shavur Malka, King Shapur, was a repeated foe of the Romans. He kept on fighting the Romans. And so in one particular incident, there was a battle at Mzigas Kesari, either Caesarea or someplace called Mzigas Kesari. And Shmuel was reported to Shmuel that Shavur Malka had killed 12,000 Jews at Mzigas Kesari. And Shmuel heard this news, and he didn't rip Kriya. So you'd think the death of 12,000 Jews is a significant enough Shmuel Ra to elicit a Kriya. So the Gemara answers, Lo Amru Ela Barov Tzibur Ukumaisa Shahaya. That when we say that you do kriya for a shmua ra, that's only when there's a calamity that affects rov tzibur. Either rov tzibur are killed, or a battle occurs where it's such a momentous event for Jewish history that it affects rov tzibur all at once. So that's when you do kriya ukamai sashaya, just like that was the situation with the death of Shaul and Yehonasan and the battle of the Jews, you know, all these Jews being killed, their defeat at the hands of their enemies. So that's when you do kriya, when it affects rov tzibur, but not when you have a geographically isolated bad event such as this one with Shavur Malka, where 12,000 people were killed. That doesn't mean that everyone rips kriya for that. The Gemara then says and questions the historical veracity of that. It says, "Umikato Shavur Malka Yudai." Is that true that Shavur Malka ever killed Jews? Vamrulei Shavur Malka Shmuel. We have an incident recorded in which Shavur Malka said to Shmuel, kind of give me a point, give me credit for not having killed any Jews ever. So Shavur Malka is on record as saying he never killed any Jews. So the Gemara answers, Hasam inhu garmi lenafshayu. This incident in Mzigas Kesari, where 12,000 Jews were killed, they were responsible for their own death because there was a internal rebellion against Shavur Malka, and these Jews participated in that rebellion, and so they brought it on among themselves. And when Shavur Malka was saying to Shmuel, "I never killed any Jews," he meant to say, "I never gratuitously killed any Jews without any reason for doing so." But he didn't mean to say, "I never killed any Jews." I did kill Jews. He did kill Jews, admittedly, when the Jews rose up against him. And how do we know that this was a situation where the Jews themselves rebelled? The Amar of Ami, Lekalia Tere de Mzigas Kesari, Pakashura de Ludkia, because of the harp sounds of Mzigas Kesari, the walls were breached in Ludkia, which is another place in that battle, another battlefield in that war. And it's saying because of the harp sounds, because of kind of the trouble aroused by those Jews in Mzigas Kesari, that resulted in the breaching of the walls in Ludkia. But the point is that the Jews themselves were part of the rebellious group there, and that's why they were killed. Okay, back to the sources for Kriya on various incidents. We said al birkas Hashem. If someone hears Hashem's Hashem being cursed, so you do kriya. Mino, and what's the source for that? Dechsiv vayavo el Yakim ben Chilkia asher rabayis v'shavna sofer v'yoach ben Asaf amazkir el Chizkiyahu kruay begadim. So this is a incident recorded in Sefer Melachim Beis, where it's talking about Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and this is the time of Sancheriv. Sancheriv had surrounded the city of Yerushalayim. There was a siege of Yerushalayim, and Sancheriv sent someone named Rav Shaka. Rav Shaka was the messenger of Sancheriv to Yerushalayim to tell the Jews that Hashem's not going to save you. He kind of trash-talked the Jews and trash-talked their God and trash-talked everyone. He said, Hashem's not going to save you. You're going to go down, etc. And in the course of that, he trash-talking Hashem, the Rav Shaka cursed Hashem to these people who were standing at the walls of Yerushalayim, and they went back to Chizkiyahu and reported what had been said. And in the pasuk here, it said these individuals were Shavna Sofer and Yoach ben Asaf and etc. And it says that when they reported it back to Chizkiyahu, their garments were torn. So that is a proof to us that when you hear Hashem being cursed, you do kriya. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara now quotes a brisa, Echad HaShomea, V'Echad HaShomea Mipi HaShomea, whether you hear it directly, or you hear a retelling of a cursing of Hashem, Chayav L'Kroa, you have to do Kriya, V'Eidim Einan Chayav L'Kroa, but the Eidim who witnessed the cursing of Hashem, they do not have to do Kriya, Shekfar Karu B'Sha'a Sheshamu, because they ripped Kriya when they heard the initial Birkas Hashem, the initial cursing of Hashem. So Gemara says, "Bishash Hashemu Mayhave Hakashami." Who cares that they heard it at the moment in the original cursing of Hashem? Here they are retelling it again in front of Bezdin, and so it's being recounted, and now they're hearing it again. So they should have to rip Kriya now. So the Gemara answers, "Hashtul Sakadai Dach." No, you don't have to. You shouldn't think that they should do Kriya again at the retelling. A few psukim later, it says when they're retelling it to Chizkiyahu, and Chizkiyahu heard it, ripped his clothes. But the implication of the pasuk is that only Chizkiyahu ripped; these edim didn't rip. So that's scriptural proof from the Nevi'im that the edim don't rip again when they retell the incident. And how do you know that when you rip for Birkas Hashem that you don't sew it up again? Asya Kriya Kriya. So the word Kriya is used here. The word Kriya is used by the other incident with Elisha, right? And so therefore you learn Kriya Kriya. Rashi says the Asya Kriya Kriya is Midavid, but that's not correct, because it points out the Hagos or Vranchberg and other people, because David, we didn't learn that limud. Okay. Sefer Torah Shenisraf Minalan. How do you know that you rip Kriya for the burning of a Sefer? Torah Dechsiv, Vayikikara Yehudi Shalosh Dulasos, Ve'ar Ba'a, Vayikra Betar HaSofer, Vashleichel HaEsh Asher Al-Ach. This is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where it says that when they read Sefer Iyov to the king, to Yehoyakim, so he ordered that parts of the Sefer be thrown into the fire and burnt. So let's see how it develops here. Ma'ishalosh dozos varba. So what does it mean when it says three doors and then four? So Amar Leilo Yoyakim, Kasav Yirmiyah Sefer Kinos. So they said to Yoyakim, Yirmiyahu Navi, who's been railing about the bad conduct of the Jewish people and warning about the Churban that's going to come, he wrote a Sefer Kinos. He wrote Eicha, telling about the demise of the destruction of the Jewish people. So Amar Luhu, so Yoyakim, who was a little cynical about all this, he said, Maksivbe, What does it say in this book of Lamentations? So they said, Eicha Yashva Badad. They said, it's terrible that the city of Yerushalayim sat forlorn, alone. Amrugu Anam Malka. He said, I'm the king. The fact that a city is destroyed doesn't really affect me. As long as I'm the king, doesn't affect me. So Amrulei Bachotiv Kebalayla. They said, it says in Eicha that people are going to be crying at night. He said, Anam Malka. He said, I'm the king. If my subjects cry, that's not really going to affect me. Golsa Yehuda Amoni. Judah is exiled. Anamalka, so he responded, Anamalka, that doesn't really affect me. If some of my subjects get exiled, I'm still the king. Darchei Tzion Avelos, the pathways of Zion are mourning. Anamalka, he said, that doesn't really affect me, I'm the king. Hayutza Rehel Arosh. So, 1 second. So that was four psukim they quoted him that didn't affect him at all. He was completely not moved at all by that. So that's the reference to Shalosh Darosos Varba. So then they said to him, Hayut Sarehel Arosh, that their enemies became the king. So Amr Lehi, that already got his attention, because he's the king. He doesn't want to be replaced by his enemies. So Amr Lahu, Man Amra. He said, who said that? Ki Hashem Hoga Arov Pesha'eha. And then they said it's because of all the pshaim. It's because of all the sins of the Jewish people. So what happened? Miad kadar kaz karos shaba v'sarfan ba'ish. So immediately Yoyakim ruled that all of the references to Hashem's name in that sefer be cut out and burnt in the fire. V'hainu dichsiv. That's what it says. V'lo pachadu v'lo karuas b'gdehem. And then the pasuk said, in response to that, then throwing these things into the fire, these holy books into the fire, they didn't do kriya. Michlal debo lemikre. But the implication is, if the sefer is reporting that they should have done kriya and they didn't, that's a bad thing. The implication is that they should have done it, and that's our source for this idea that with a sefer Torah shenisraf, you do kriya. Just like here, these, I don't know if this is the sefer Torah they were burning. I think it was just parts of sefer Eicha they were burning. But the point is, when something important gets burnt, like a Sefer Torah, you should do Kriya. This is the source. Amrei Rav Papa Abayi. Rav Papa questions this proof. He says to Abayi, Emer Mishum Shmos Haros. So maybe they were doing Kriya not because of a burning of a Sefer Torah or burning of any kind of sources, but rather because generally things were going down the tube here. Things were... there was calamities to Klal Yisrael occurring. Maybe that's why they were doing it. So I'm really Shmos Ros Bahishai to Miyavu. No, he said there were no calamities taking place yet. This was all a nevuah, warning to Yoyakim what's going to happen if the Jews continue down this path. But no destruction was happening yet, and so therefore this is a good proof for the idea that you do kriya for a sefer Torah. Amar Av Chelvo, Amar Av Huna, Haroa Sefer Torah Shenikra Chayv Lekroa. If you see a Torah torn, then you should do kriya. Shtei kriyos, echad al hagvil v'echad al ksav. You should actually do two kriyos, one for the parchment and one for the words that have been ripped. Shenemar acharei srof hamelech esam megillav es hadvarim. Because that pasuk, again, this is, I think, pulling from the same series of psukim in Yirmiyahu, it says that he... burnt the Megillah and he burnt the Dvarim, meaning the fact that the Pasuk refers to the cloth and the word separately shows that we should do two separate kriyas. Rabbi Abba of Rav Huna Barchia Havu Yasve Kameder Rav Abba. So Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna Barchia were sitting, meeting with Rabbi Abba. Ba Lafnuye, and Rabbi Abba had to go relieve himself, he had to excuse himself to go to the bathroom. So shakli l'totaf tei, he took off his tefillin, ach tei abesadja, and he put it down on a bench or a cushion. And while he was, you know, taking care of his business in the next room, asai bas na'imta na'misa ba l'mivle, an ostrich came along and started pecking at the tefillin and wanted to eat the tefillin. So Amar... So I guess Rabbi Abba now returns from the bathroom and he sees that his tefillin are all disheveled and all ripped up. He said, "Hashta ichayven lishtei krios. I have to do two krios." right? Because we said you rip for the parchment, then you rip for the words. I have to do kriyos. Amrlei, so one of them, either Rabbi Abba or Rav Huna Bar Chiya, responded to him, Minolach hu ha. How do you know that? Or why do you think that's the case? Vabididi hava uvda. I had a similar incident that occurred to me. I don't know whether it was an ostrich or pecked at his tefillin or some other problem happened with his tefillin, but I was going to do kriya. Vasayu kamed Rav Masna. I asked Rav Masna whether I should do kriya. He wasn't sure. Asayu kamed Rav Yehuda, and I went to Rav Yehuda. V'amrali, and he said, "Hachi Amar Shmuel." He quoted Shmuel as saying, "Lo amru el bizroa ukmaisa shahaya." He says Shmuel paskind that you shouldn't do kriya for a ripped tefillin or a ripped sefer Torah, unless it was bizroa, where a enemy of the Jewish people had done it kind of as an act of anti-Semitism, as an act of destruction. But not when something happens, like an ostrich comes along and pecks your tefillin. That doesn't require a kriya, right? And it's only kumaisa shahaya. It's only like in the story of Yoyakim, where this was all of kind of in a negative, negative kind of way, in a adversarial way that these parchments were being burnt. Okay. Are Yehuda Minalan. How do you know that you do kriya when you see the cities of Yehuda in their destruction? Dechsev vayavo anashim mishchem mishigo mishamron shmonim ish mugolchei zakein v'kruei begadim u'miskodedim u'mincho levono biyadim la'aviv beis Hashem. This is a pasuk describing the reaction of people who came back and after seeing the korban, and it says v'kruei begadim. It says that their garments were rended. So we know from that you rip kriya when you see the Ari Yehuda in their destruction. Amrav Chalba, Amrav Ula Bira, Amrav Lazar, Haroa Ari Yehuda Bechorbanan, when you see the cities of Yehuda in their destruction, Omer, Ari Kach, this is what you do before you rip Kriya, Ari Kachecha Hiu Midbar. You read the Pasuk from Yeshayahu that talks about the fact that your cities, your holy cities are now a desert, now desolate. Vikorea, and then you do Kriya. Yerushalayim b'chorbanu, when you see Yerushalayim in its destruction, Omer Tzion Midbar Haisa Yerushalayim Shemama, you see another pasuk that's referring to the destruction of Yerushalayim, Vikorea, and you do Kriya. Beis HaMikdash b'chorbanu, when you see the Beis HaMikdash in its desolation, Omer Beis Kashenu v'sifartenu Asher Hilucha v'seinu Hayo Estrefa Seish v'chol machamadenu Hayo Lecharava Vikorea. You do Kriya after saying this pasuk referring to the destruction or the desolation of the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. The marketing is Korea al Mikdash Umosuf al Yerushalayim. You do a Kriya for the Beis HaMikdash, and then you add a little for the desolation of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, Verminu, I don't understand. We have another brace that says, another source that says, Echad HaShomea Vechad HaRoeh, whether you hear of the destruction or you see the destruction of the desolation, Kevan Shigil Itzofim Korea. You, when you get to Tzofim, the place where you could see the Makom HaMikdash, you do Kriya, V'Korea al-Mikdash, B'fnei Atzmo, V'al Yerushalayim B'fnei Atzmo. You rip one Kriya on the Mikdash, and one Kriya on Yerushalayim. So this is contradicting what we just said, which is that you rip a Kriya for the Mikdash, and then you're Mosif V'al Yerushalayim, right? It sounds like you just rip one Kriya, and then you just add a little for Yerushalayim. Here we're saying you do two separate kriyas. The Gemara answer is lo kasha. Hada paga b'mikdash b'reisha, hada paga b'Yerushalayim b'reisha. Our quote is referring to a situation where you get to the base of Mikdash first. So Yerushalayim is kind of the lower level of kriya, and then the Mikdash is kind of more intense. And so if you skipped the lower level and you went straight to the Mikdash, and Rashi says, how did you get to the Mikdash without getting to Yerushalayim? Rashi says that they put you in a box or something and got you through. Nimuka Yosef says a much more intuitive answer, which is that you were inside your car. You were inside your agal, your wagon, and you were reading, you're looking at your iPhone while the taxi driver was driving you to the Makom HaMikdash. So you didn't see Yerushalayim, and then you open your eyes, and here you are at the Kotel, so then you see the Mikdash first. So that's the situation we were talking about, where you do one Kriya, and then as an afterthought, okay, now I see the rest of Yerushalayim, so I just do a little extra kriya to that main kriya. Whereas this second brisa that we were quoting, that's referring to the more common circumstance where you see Yerushalayim, so you do a kriya in Yerushalayim, and then you see a major other calamity, you see the Makom HaMikdash, so you do a separate kriya entirely.
Nowadays, you're supposed to do a kriya when you go to the kotel, right?
Yeah, so the way this works nowadays, the dominant minhag of most people is to do kriya once when you get to the kotel.
Right.
There's discussion among the... I mean, it says, it talks in Shulchan Aruch, and it talks about, as we see in the Gemara, about doing a kriya for, generally for the Arei Yehuda and for Yerushalayim. And so, arguably, you should do one kriya for every ancient city that you pass on your way to Yerushalayim, and a kriya for Yerushalayim, and then a kriya for the Mikdash. We don't usually do this. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that says that nowadays, because Yerushalayim is no longer in enemy hands, it doesn't require its own kriya. I think that's probably what most people are relying on. So the prevailing minhag, as far as I know, when you get to the kotel, when you get to the Makom HaMikdash, there's a way, if you want to be kind of careful about this, there's a way to avoid the need to do it separately for Yerushalayim, and that is if you kind of see the Mikdash first from Har HaTzofim or from the, you know, kind of coming from the east, so then you won't pass through Yerushalayim, you won't see the old, it's the old city of Yerushalayim that's really the important one that we're talking about here, so you won't see the old city of Yerushalayim, you'll see the Makom HaMikdash first, and then if anything, I guess you'll have to do another little extra tear when you see Yerushalayim, if you're not going to, if you're going to hold that you do a Kriya for Yerushalayim also, but that would solve that problem. But most people don't first come to Yerushalayim through Har HaTzofim. They're coming through the Jaffa Gate and then the Old City, and they get to the Makom HaMikdash. And yet I think the dominant minhag nowadays is not to do Kriya for Yerushalayim, but just to do it for the Mikdash. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. So we quote now a braisa, V'chu an rishon l'sholon u'umol an u'okton l'asosun k'min sulamas. So on all these categories where we've been talking about that you're not allowed to permanently sew it up, that means you're not allowed to really sew it up well. But you are allowed to be sholulon or molulon or lokton, you could gather it together, you could pin it together, you could tack it together. These are all kind of different words for different methods of loosely tacking it together. Lasozon kamin sulamos, you can make it like ladders, meaning like kind of stitches, loose stitches. Avalo lachosom, you're not allowed to really sew it together well. Amar of Chista, ubi ichoy alexandri. We're talking specifically about a certain method of sewing that's a really good method. Ichud alexandri, the way they used to do it in Alexander. Tosfos, if you look at the top Tosfos, it says, Birushalmi, he quotes the Birushalmi, ezo ichoy, Kol she'ein makomo nicker. A real good sewing that we're talking about is where you do such a good job, you're like a tailor, so that you, it doesn't look like it was ever ripped. That's what real ichui is that you're not allowed to do. And then Tosas quotes Masechas Smachos Mefarish Kol she'yachu Kol Tzarcho, where you really just did it up Kol Tzarcho, so that, you know, I get a functional enough sewing, so that that you really accomplished the job of sewing. That's what's prohibited. But it's permissible to do the loose kind of tacking together. That's okay. Okay. The Gemara now says, "Tana Rabbanan ha-korea mitoch ha-shalol." If you do kriya, right. So for your initial kriya, if you have a garment that has been torn already, and then you tack it up, and now you hear of a new mace, and now you're going to rip from that kind of partially sewn up kriya, because why ruin another garment? So I'll just kind of rip again where it was just tacked up together. That's not going to work. That's not a kriya. But if you rip it from something that's sewn up permanently and well, so that's sewing up permanently well. It's as if it's a new garment now. And if you rip kriya on that, then you're yotze. That's what we're saying now. Tanur bana kriya mitocha shol. If you rip from a tacked together one, or mitocha mol, or from a hem together one, mitocha leket, mitocha suamos, any of these ad hoc sewings up, so that doesn't count as real kriya, mitocha ichoy, but if you rip from one that's permanently sewed up, yatza, that counts as kriya. Amrav chisto v'chi ichoy alexandri, again, we're talking about where you've done a real good sewing up, ichoy alexandri. Tarabana, rashai lohofcho lomata u'achoso. So, you're allowed to flip it over And then, meaning all these situations where we're saying you're not allowed to do ichoy, where you're not allowed to permanently sew it up, that's true if you keep it intact, but you could kind of flip over the garment and then reuse a different part of the garment as the main part of the garment, cut out a neck hole and use that as the main garment, and then your cut is on the bottom, and then you're allowed to sew up. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Oser L'Achoso, he says, no, that doesn't work, you can't do it. These halachos that we're saying you're not allowed to sew up a torn garment for these categories, for father, mother, for Yerushalayim, etc. So not only are you prohibited from sewing up that garment, but you can't now sell that garment and now have a new buyer sew it up. The iser goes on the garment, not on the person. And therefore, if you're selling a torn garment, it was torn for aviv or imo, or one of these important categories, you have to let the buyer know, so that the buyer knows that he's not allowed to sew it up, that there's a real iser there. Tosos, interestingly, the second Tosos there, addresses the issue, what about selling it to a non-Jew? So Tosos says, lo shamati, he says, I don't really know what the halach is, I'm not sure, im mutter l'mochro l'nachri, nidu l'kech aser l'achoso imu nachri mutter. He says, even though it's true, as our Gemara points out, that a buyer cannot sew it up, but if he's a non-Jew, mutter, no one, this is not one of the Shiva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and a non-Jew would be allowed to sew it. V'afa pita mocher tzarech lo'odiyo lo'kech, hayinu k'dei shlo yase lo'kech iser. The idea in the Gemara that you have to let the buyer know, that's in order to prevent the buyer from performing an iser of sewing up one of these tears, aval inar nechoshim t'parim ha'nachri. And Tosfos suggests it's probably mutter to sell it to a non-Jew because there's no iser for the non-Jew to sew it up. Fine. Excuse me. Where are we?
Tarabanan.
Techilas kriya tefach v'tosefes shosha tzbos divrei meir. Meir says that the shear for a kriya is one tefach. A tefach is usually, we think about, is 3 to 4 inches, a hand breadth. And then if you're going to do tosefes, adding it for a new mace that we'll see in a moment, in many situations, you could just rip a little more if there's a new mace that happens. So that's the shear is three fingers. That's right there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tchilas Kriya Shalosh Etzbos. The initial tearing is the shear is 3 etzbos, less than a tefach. For tosefes kolshu, and a tosefes would be any minimal amount. Amar Ula Halacha Krabi Meir Bekriya. So we actually split the psak here. And we follow like Rabbi Meir for the kriya. An initial kriya, the shear is a tefach. V'alacha k'Rabbi Yehuda b'tosefes. And we follow the more makel view of Rabbi Yehuda with respect to ripping it a second time to add to that kriya, where you only have to do a kol shu, only a minimal amount. Tanyin amyachi, Rabbi Yossi omer t'chilas kriya tefach v'tosefes kol shuhu. The halacha is that the kriya has to be done one tefach, and if you're going to do a tosefes and adding to it for another death, you have to do just a minimal amount. Tan Rabbanan, Amru lo meis aviv vikara. So let's say someone got news that his father dies and he does kriya. Meis beno vehosif. And then he gets news that his son dies, and on that same kriya he just adds a kol shehu, he just does a little more kriya. So you have to keep in mind, back then we were talking about where they were living in a socioeconomic situation where it wasn't easy to just grab another shirt. I think it would be highly insensitive for someone nowadays who their father dies and then their son dies, Rahmanul Islam, to use the same shirt. I think we'd recommend invest, you know, the $5 and get another shirt and do a proper kriya. But here where they were dealing with minimal resources, so they would have a shirt that they, you know, sacrificed for this kriya, and now they hear of another death, they're going to do another kriya on that same shirt.
This is after he gets up from shiva and so on.
Yeah, we'll see in a moment the timelines here.
Right. What happens if it happens in the middle, you know, like major accident or something like that, and one goes one day and 4 days later, we've heard of situations like that.
Yeah. So the Gemara later is going to say kol shiva korel achar shiva mosif, that during shiva you have to your tear is still working for the old. For the initial death, and you have to pull out a new shirt to do a new kriya, or at least not a new shirt, a new kriya, you know, a few inches lower. Whereas if it's after shiva, you have to be mosif. We'll see. It might be shloshim. We'll see that in a moment. Okay. So interestingly, so here your initial kriya was for the father, and then your hosafa was for the son. The halacha by a father is that you're not allowed to mend it together. The halacha for a son is that you are allowed to mend together. So therefore, tachton misache, now you can sew up that little koshu extra that you did for the son, elyon eino misache, but you can't sew up the initial kriya, because that's for the son. Whereas if it's vice versa, then vice versa. Meis beno vikara, you tear for the son. Meis avivos, and then the father dies and you add koshu, elyon misache, tachton eino misache, so then you could sew up the main kriya, but then you have to leave a little gap at the end for the additional kriya that was done for the father. Meis aviv, meis imo, meis achiv, meis achoso, if you hear of simultaneous news of a whole family dying, God forbid, so then korea kara echad ulkuan, you can be yotze with one kriya for everyone. You don't have to do multiple kriyas. He says you can't put together all the family members with the father and mother. Father and mother get a separate kriya. And so therefore you do one kriya for all the other siblings, etc. And for father and mother you do another kriya. While if you shein mosifin al kara aviv v'imo, you can't do osafa on kara aviv v'imo. And I think this applies not only for that one, for hearing it all at once, but also if you do a kriya for a father and mother, and then you hear a nushmua for another relative, you can't add to that kriya of the avivimo. The nushmua gets another rip. My time, why is that? Amar of Nachem Reitzel Kofish Einan B'Tosefes, because Rashi says Shenum B'Tosefes means Komer in B'Din Shemosif Alein. I think that means is you can't get more parents, meaning a person can have multiple kids, they can have multiple siblings, that's the kind of thing that multiplies, but you only have one pair of parents, and so therefore, fittingly, they get their own kriya. You can't do tosefes on the kriya. Amar shu halacha k'rabi Yehuda ben Beseira, we follow that halacha, that's the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that you need a separate kriya for avivimo. Mi amar shmuel hachi, is that true? Did Shmuel really say that? Why is Shmuel siding with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira here, saying that you need a separate kriya? Doesn't he always follow the most mekel view out there? Because we have a rule that when it comes to Hilchos Avelos, we always follow the most lenient view. The Gemara answer is Avelos l'chud, kriya l'chud, that Avelos and kriya are two separate categories, and the halacha k'divrei mekel ba'avel applies to Avelos, but it doesn't necessarily apply to Kriya. Arechan Korea. So now, in the situation where you're doing multiple tears, so you could keep on doing a mashu for additional shmuos of new mesim, how far can you go? Can you kind of just keep on ripping around your back? How far can you go? So the grand answer is ad tiburo, until your stomach. V'yishomrim ad libo, and some say not as far that you can only go until your heart. Even though we don't have a proof for this, we have an asmachta shenemar v'karu v'avchem v'al bigdechem. The pasuk that says you should rip to your heart. But let's say you do get that far, you get to your stomach, so then what should you do now if you want to do more kriyas? Marchik shalosh etzpos. So move over in the garment three atzpos, v'koreya, and start a new kriya there. Nismali milafanav, let's say, and again, we're dealing with poor people who, this seems to be a terrible situation where lots of people are dying, and they don't have the wealth to just use multiple shirts. So what should you do? Nismali milafanav, if you filled up your front with all kriyas. Again, you have to move three atzmos for each one. So now you filled up your whole front of your shirt with kriyas. What should you do? Machziro l'achorav. You should go to the back. I'm sorry, you should turn the shirt around and start ripping again, right? Nismali milamala. If you've finished ripping all the possibilities from the top, but you have a garment that kind of goes down, that you know, extends down below your belt, so now you could flip over the garment, hofcho milamata, and then you could just start again. You could reconfigure a garment in order to get more kriyas out of it. But But you can't just rip from the bottom or rip from the, you know, the hems or whatever it is. That's not going to work. You have to rip from near the heart. Except for El Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Gadol who normally should not be ripping, the halacha is, Poreis Milmata. He can do a symbolic ripping on the bottom to kind of express his grief. That's not a real kriya. That's how he can do it. Pligibar of Masnu Mar Ukva, V'tavar Mishmei Davua de Shmuel, V'levi. Here's the machlokas. Chad Amar Kol Shiva Korea Achar Shiva Mosif. One says that. We're talking now about once you've mended it, I think. Right. Kol Shiva Korea.
I think this is where he heard another shmua of somebody passing away.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, you're right. So where you heard another shmua, this is what we mentioned before. Kol Shiva Korea. You did one kriya, and now you hear a shmua of another mace. So there you should do the thing where you skip three etzpos and then do a new kriya. Do a new kriya if it's during shiva. But if it's after shiva has ended, so then you could just do those safa. Achar shiva mosif. If it's after shiva has ended, then you could just add to that initial tear. Right? The idea is, as Mr. Baumser pointed out, when it's still a fresh kriya, we're not going to let you get by with just doing extra safos to that kriya for additional deaths. But after that kriya is stale already, after shiva has ended, so then you could just do a hosafa. So that was one opinion. So one said that the grace period is, or the blackout period is 30 days, and it's only after 30 days that you can be mosif to a kriya, but within shloshim it needs a new kriya for a new death. Said, the one who says Kol Shiva Korea, that you can rip for, that you have to do a new rip during Shiva, that's talking about, but that should be tied to this idea of, the Kriya is still considered a Kriya for during those days, and therefore, remember we said even during Shiva, you can't tie it up in any way. You got to have to keep it as a apparent kriya. You have to make it clear that it's still a kriya. But what about a woman who, even during shiva, right away for tznius reasons, she tacks it up? So if a woman's allowed to tack it up, maybe she should be able to do a. She should be able to be mosif, meaning maybe her tacking it up kind of cancels out that as a kriya. That kriya is not really considered a kriya anymore. It's not a fresh kriya that's still in play. And she should be able to do a hosafa on that kriya as a way of expressing avelos during shiva. Right? Does that make sense? So what about the woman? She should be able to be mosif even during shiva. So the grand answer is no. That's only because of tznius that she's allowed to tack it up. But it's not to say that that's not considered still a kriya. The kriya is still a fresh kriya. It's still in play. It's still a kriya during shiva, and it's only subject to hosafa. You can only now reuse that and do a hosafa to count it as kind of a new kriya if the period, if that blackout period of that 7 days has ended. But the fact that she can tack it up, that's just for tznius. That's an exterior issue. And then the Gemara answers a similar question on the shloshim. Mandam rakos shloshim korea, the opinion that said that during the 30 days you can that you have to do to rip a new kriya. Amai dol nitang achoso, elo aviv dol nitang achoso. That's only for a kriya that is not subject to achoso. Elo aviv leimo dol nitang achoso liolam. But for a father and mother, where you're supposed to keep that kriya intact or extact, you're supposed to keep that kriya open, ripped forever, and you're never allowed to sew it up. So, hachinami. So there, you should always need to tear a new kriya. You should never be able to reuse that kriya even after 30 days. Forever, that kriya is a fresh kriya that's in play, and you should not be able to use that kriya to just do hosafa for a new death. So the answer is no. Hasam mishum kavod aviv imahu. That halacha that you're never allowed to sew it up, that's just a halacha that reflects a kavod aviv imo. But it's not to say that that kriya always has a status of a kriya that's in play that you can't use for another kriya. Okay. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Hayotze bebeged karua lifnei hames, harizah gozal atzameisim ezachayim. Let's say you show up to a funeral in an already ripped garment. So that's gozal atzameisim ezachayim. That's not respectful to the mesim. It's not respectful to the chayim. You have to do the kriya there on the spot. Rishuma Gamliel Omer, Haomer al-Khaveri, Shiani al-Khalukecha, Ve'ilich ve'vaker es abba, Shulchola. So this is interesting. Halacha. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, let's say you tell your friend, I want to borrow your shirt, and I'm going to visit my father who's sick. And I guess you say he was very sick. And now, halachu mitzo shemes, and you go and you find that he's dead. So, korea, you can actually rip your friend's shirt because there's an implicit consent there because you told your friend you were going to visit your sick father, and the friend must have known that that meant that you there was a possibility that you'd be wearing this shirt when he died, and then you'd have to do kriya. And so therefore, korea uma'acho, you do kriya, and then you sew it up. Because yavu aveso ma'achsir lo chaluko. You go back, you return the shirt. For no single to make karo, obviously you have to pay him for the damage to the shirt. I think nowadays, when our shirts are not so expensive, the value of the kriya is probably the full value of the shirt, because we don't walk around with sewn up shirts nowadays. But back then, when garments were probably more readily reused, so the value of a kriya was, there was a value to the kriya, right? It would cost money to have it sewn up, but the shirt was then considered reusable. So it was less than the full value of the shirt. But if you didn't tell the friend that you were visiting your sick father with that shirt, you just borrowed his shirt. You told him you were going to a parade with that shirt, but you didn't tell him you were going to visit the sick father. Harizeh lo yiga klal. Then you have absolutely no permission to tear that shirt, and you're not allowed to do so. Tanu Rabbanan chola shemes lo mes ein modiyun oso shemes shema titzer of daitos. This is a halacha that comes up in some situations where a relative of a sick person dies. Now this is not a person with the flu. This is a person who himself is very, very sick, and telling the sick person of the bad news of the death of his relative might cause him, you know, real damage, real harm. So we don't inform him of the death. Vein mekarim b'fanav, you don't do kriya in front of him because he might get suspicious. Umishatkin es anashim b'fanav, tell the woman not to talk about the situation in front of him. Separate halacha, umekarim l'katan b'pnei agamas nefesh. Even though a katan is not subject to the halachas of avelos, generally speaking, we do a kriya on a katan as a way of kind of conjuring up emotions of the people. When people see a katan with a ripped shirt, it's something that's very emotional. It kind of speaks to the heart, and it drives home the tragedy of the situation all the more. V'korin al-chama v'al-chamosom ipnei kavod ishto. So this is halacha. We talked about this halacha similarly when we were talking about the idea that you sit shiva with anyone in your household or with your wife who's sitting shiva. And we talked about how nowadays that's not really so much practiced. But here too, it says you do kriya for an ingwa because as a respect for your wife. Vamra papa, tana bavo rabasi, we learn in avo rabasi, avo lo yaniach tinok betzolcheko mipnei shemivyoi deschok. When an avo is sitting shiva, so one of the restrictions on an avo sitting shiva is that he shouldn't pick up a baby and hold the baby and play with the baby because that brings happiness. It's a way of bringing joy, v'nimtzam niskana al abrios, and it's kind of not respectful given the situation. Let's just do the next few lines. Vein mavrin al mitos zekufos. This talks about sudas avra and its relation to turning over the beds. Right, the halacha of that back then was that they turn over the beds. Tan rabbanan ha'olich lebeis avel. Someone who brings the first meal to the beis avel. Someone goes to the beis avel with the meal. Im hayolibo gaspo, if he was very close with the avel and he's really almost a part of the shiva house, so then yavru almitos kefuyos. So then everyone should sit together. The person who's visiting and the avelim should sit together on turned over beds. Vimlav, but if you're just bringing the meal because you're a member of the chesed committee of your shul and you're not necessarily best friends with this Avel and really sitting with him in any sense, so then Yovruhu al mito zekufos, so then you should eat that meal with the bed still up. Rava Isra be Milsa, Rava, someone died. Ol gabe Abba Marsa, Duhu Abba Bar Minyumi. So Abba Bar Marsa, who was also known as Abba Bar Minyumi, went and brought the meal. Rava Zakif, so Rava put the beds upwards. Abba Bar Marzif Kafi, and Abba Bar Marzif put the beds downwards. Amar Kamwe, so he said, I think Rava said to Rabbi Marasi, you don't have common sense, you're not thinking clearly, to this Tamachacha, meaning you are kind of presuming a closeness of a relationship that doesn't really exist by pushing over the beds. Really, you're not so close with them, and therefore this Suda Savra should be done with the beds up. This concept in the Salacha will continue in the next daf.
Sure.
Yeah.